on TV. Words for crooks, words for comfort, words for peace, words to make the fighting cease, words to tell you what to do. Words are working hard for you. Eat your words, but don't go hungry. Words have always nearly hung me.
It's time now for All Over Arts, our arts news segment with Anita Barrow. Hi, Anita.
Oh, very range of music today.
Yeah, it's diverse. We're always eclectic. Now, earlier this week, we debated some very serious issues around the Sydney Biennale. This was the question of whether the Biennale should accept sponsorship from Transfield, who manage the detention centres on Manus Island and Nauru, and artists were calling for an end to that. Now, since our conversation, five artists have actually withdrawn from the Biennale, including one of the artists we spoke to, Gabrielle de Vietri.
Yes, and three of them are international artists: Ahmet Oluyurt from Turkey, Spanish artist Libya Castro, who actually is based in Warsaw now, and Olafur Olafsson, who's originally from Iceland. I've noticed actually another local artist, Aidan Rolfe, also withdrawn. So there's a growing swell of artists demonstrating their concerns in this way. The Biennale has responded, saying they're disappointed, but they're going to press on. And one of the Biennale preview events earlier this week was cancelled because of fears of demonstrations. So it's moving.
Yeah, and there are also some demonstrations in New York.
Yes, not about this issue, but there was a very small but noisy demonstration at the Guggenheim Museum, and this was about the conditions for migrant workers on Saadiyat Island, where the Guggenheim Abu Dhabi is to be built. Now, there's a number of iconic cultural institutions being built as part of a huge, huge complex. As well as the Guggenheim, there's the Louvre, Abu Dhabi, and also the British Museum's very involved in the design and contents of the Sheikh Zayed National Museum. It's not just a concern to activists. The Council of Europe have held a meeting to discuss this, and a group of artists have got together to voice their concerns. Also, one's a British writer, Guy Manns-Abbott, and he's actually investigated the British Museum's involvement and suggested it reconsider its items gifted or on loan to the Sheikh Zayed National Museum in this cultural district that they're building. It's said there that workers have their passports taken away. They're virtually held captive to build these very shishi complexes until they've paid back their recruitment fees, which can take years.
Yeah, so, I mean, the background to this is that the Guggenheim Museum in New York, which is one of those iconic museums, has built these other Guggenheims around the world.
Bilbao as well,
in
Spain.
And so this is a new one that's being built. And so the demonstration's been there at sort of its central office there in New York because of those issues you've been describing. So we're talking about Guy Manns-Abbott. Actually, he's in Australia.
Yes, quite amazingly. He's appearing at the Adelaide Festival Writers Week. Actually, tomorrow he's reading and discussing his work, which is called In Ramallah Running, which sounds an interesting project. It's a literature with some visual arts aspects. I actually rang him up, and here's just a little of what he said.
I think the duties of a cultural institution surely is to have an ethics. At the moment, they're literally being built by forced labour. Those are the foundations of the buildings. And I think the institutions themselves bear a very significant responsibility because they're profiting very substantially from it. The one figure that just ricochets around my mind is that it is a fact that the Louvre, for example, is being paid $17.5 million every year for 30 years for the use of their brand alone. And I can't help feeling that 1 year's brand profit could be either given back or withheld, or put in a special fund to repay and reimburse the recruitment fees that workers have been forced to pay. And at least they would know, we would know, that from here on out there are people there whose working conditions no longer meet the definition of forced labour by international labour organisation standards. It's the refusal to even contemplate that really mortifies me.
That's the writer Guy Manns-Abbott talking about this Guggenheim issue. And he's at Adelaide Writers Festival, or Adelaide, what do they call it, Adelaide Writers Week. That's next week. And we'll be there, Books and Arts Daily. We'll be there all next week. And Anita, what else have we got? We've got some good book news to tell.
Yes, two things. A competition first. You know how everything's pop-up these days?
I do.
Fashion lines, restaurants, you know. Well, what about book pop-ups?
What's a book pop-up?
Well, last year they emerged suddenly, bookshelves filled with great free books, gratis books, appeared in bus shelters across Sydney and Melbourne.
I saw one of these and I thought it was an ad for something.
No.
And then I thought, I don't know what's being advertised here.
Well, people could actually just go and choose what they wanted and take them
away. I couldn't help myself to a book.
Yes, you could have.
Oh, I didn't get it at all. I missed the point.
Yeah, well, some people missed the bus. They were so... This is an initiative of Bookworld, which is a division of Penguin Books, and nominations, this is the competition bit, are now open for suggestions as to where the next pop-up books should pop up. So it could be your local street, your school, your train station, wherever, and I'll put a link to it for those interested. There's a prize for the best entry, and it's part of an effort to keep reading and get kids into books, especially books purchased locally, either in hard copy or online. And as we know, there's a decline in the number of independent bookshops worldwide. In the UK, there are less than 1,000. I was shocked by that figure. In Australia, they're shrinking, but touch wood, surviving. In the US, there are real fears about the future of local bookstores and, of course, you know, large chain borders fell over and what have you. So a very prominent, extremely wealthy writer, James Patterson, has stepped in with grants to independent bookstores. His publisher, he releases about 13 books every year. He may be known for the Alex Cross series, which was made into a movie late last year, I think. But he also writes young adult fiction, and he's very concerned about children's reading habits. He's giving $1 million away to independent booksellers. He's already given about 50 away, and it's made a big difference. So I think it's they just apply for it, and then he looks at it and says, yep, you can have that money.
Well, that's a turn-up, isn't it? A writer giving money to bookshops. It's an interesting world we live in now. This is very fascinating to me as a historian. The smell of history.
Yes. I've always wondered what history would smell like. The Spur Gallery in San Francisco has an exhibition called Urban Olfactory. It sounds great, the smell of rain on a city pavement after a hot day in 19th century America.
I can smell it now.
But you can then go get and sniff the plebs in the 18th century Paris by the River Seine, eau de pollution.
Oh, that's not so good.
Or the Industrial Revolution's described as the ambient smell of burnt hydrocarbons in the air. And then for sort of relief, you can then take a cleanser smell of coffee beans.
Now, just back up a bit. This is a show of smells.
It smells. You go in and there's a tube, you smell it and you get the sense of the era. The curators of the show say smell actually drives a lot of social change. You know, think of sewage systems. We wouldn't have had them unless people objected to the smell. Development of perfume, smog laws, you know, the obsession with cleanliness in the 50s.
That sort of thing. Smell.
Smell.
Suppose you could have a history of smell. Well, that's what this is. It's a history of smell. This is fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Anita.
Thank you.
Anita Barrow, who's a producer here at Books and Arts Daily, and she brings us art news, just about every week.